Please be seated. They're thinking, uh-oh, he's in the aisle. What's going to happen? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kirk LaFon. I am one of the chaplains at St. Andrew's Episcopal School, where I work primarily with the middle and upper school students. And I have spotted some students and former students. I see you, Martha. And faculty. And I just want to go ahead and apologize to you all, because you have to endure yet one more Father Kirk sermon. You will get your fill over the course of the year. I want to begin this morning the way I begin many of my sermons at school, and this is with a story. And this is an old folk tale, and the main character in this folk tale is a turtle. This turtle really, really wants to fly and tries this all the time. He'll climb up on rocks and jump off and up in like little shrubs and trees and jump off and do a little with the arm. And oftentimes, you know how this ends, oftentimes we'll end up on his back, actually. He's trying this over and over again, just kind of won't give up. And one day he's tried again, he's on his back, he looks up and he sees in the sky, soaring beautifully, the great eagle. And he thinks to himself, that's it. That's where I want to be. Maybe this eagle can teach me to fly. So he goes and he has a conversation with the eagle. Hey, eagle, so I'd like to learn to fly. The eagle is kind of resisting the urge to laugh because he detects the sincerity from the turtle. And says very, very kindly and gently, turtle, like, you can't fly, and I can't teach you. Turtle says, come on, try to teach me how to fly. It's not going to happen, turtle. And look, here's the thing, like, you can do some things that I can't do. You know, for example, you can swim. You're great in the water. I mean, I can't do that. Focus on that. Turtle's very disappointed. Goes away, continues trying to fly. Again, one day ends up on his back, looking up in the sky, sees the eagle again and sees something else, this big, bright, yellow thing, and comes up with an idea. Goes back to the eagle, says to the eagle, are you sure that you can't teach me to fly? I'm sure I can't teach you to fly. Would you at least let me experience it with you? Would you take me up with you so I can experience flying? Eagle says, you know, I've got these awesome talons. Yeah, I can do that. Let's go. So they take off and they fly up into the sky and they're in the clouds. And the eagle says to the turtle, is this good? High enough? The turtle says, this is great. Let's go a little bit higher. Goes a little bit high above the clouds. What about now? Is this okay? Feeling good? Yeah, this is great. Let's go a little bit higher. Up, 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 up by the sun. It's so bright. Now the eagle's having a hard time seeing because it's so bright. Turtle plucks two feathers from eagle and try. Eagle lets him go. And I know what you're thinking. Now that's a pretty high place to fall from, right? What happened to the turtle? Turtle survived, everybody. Okay? Hard shell. Hard shell. Turtle survives, right? I'm thinking at that point, maybe Turtle realized, I'm a turtle. I'm going to focus on swimming, kind of get better at that. The story is told, you all, to, I think, help people understand, like, gifts, my own gift, what I have to offer, be grateful for that. Go with that. And I want to say, that's a great message. That's a really great message. That's not what I want to focus on this morning, though. All right? Because I think there's more to the story than that. And I think without this other part of the story, as silly as it is, all these other experiences of that the turtle had helped him discover his real turtleness, so to speak. There's more to that story. Just like I think there's more to the gospel today than at first glance. I like to dig just a little bit deeper into that. Interestingly enough, if you look at most scenes from the Bible, right? Most of the great characters, there are like numerous illustrations and paintings and some very famous representations of these stories. I find it fascinating that today's gospel, there is considered to be one great painting of today's scene. Conrad Witz, German painter, 1444. It was part of an altar piece that he did. Anyway, this is very interesting to me because I look at this story and I see a lot of really rich material in this story. Jesus on the water, disciples in the boat. I mean, it seems to me there are things you could work with there, right? The theory is that there's one great painting of it because artists wanted to stay away from portraying this great apostle, Peter, in this negative way. So many of them avoided painting this scene. I also find this fascinating because Peter is one who, it seems to me, is constantly messing things up and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. Last week, Transfiguration. Hey, Jesus, this is fantastic. Let's build some tents here. Let's stay. No, Peter. I'm sorry. There's more work for us to do down the mountain. There's another mountain, too, that I'll be going to. Peter, three times, when the heat gets turned on and things get tough, three times, you are going to deny knowing me. Jesus, I would never. What? It's not going to happen. It happened. Today, I mean, come on. Here comes Jesus on the water. Hey, let me try. No, it's not going to happen. Right? Peter, have more faith, okay? Don't doubt. Have more faith. To me, Peter is kind of like this poster boy for someone who makes mistakes. And you know what I'm going to say to you today? I love it. Boy, does it make me feel a lot better. This guy, Jesus will eventually say, I'm going to build on you. You're my rock. You, Peter, Mr. Flub up and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. Wow. I love that. It sure makes me feel better. Because it's part of life, messing up. It's part of life. Not like I want to mess up on purpose. But it happens. I read this article. It was maybe a month or two ago in the New York Times. And the title was something like Putting Failure on the Syllabus. And like 10 years ago, faculty and researchers at both Harvard and Stanford detected a certain quality among the students, and this thing was, they came up with this term, and the term is failure deprived. That's what I did failure deprived. Like, we've got all these amazing, and it's like, either you have never failed before and have no clue what it means. And as funny as that sounds, it does sound funny. Here's the rub with that. What they really figured out was like this really deep avoidance of failure, avoidance of situations where they might fail, to the point of this is holding you back. I'm here today to say I think failure is sound educationally, because I'm speaking to you as someone who primarily works in a school, okay? I think it's sound educationally and can be a positive, good thing. That's where I'm going with this. I think it's biblical, too. So other schools picked up on this research and now are doing different things. Smith College has an initiative called Failing Well, trying to remove the stigma around failing, trying to get students to put themselves out there a little bit more. Davidson College, I saw George come in. I'm trying to score some bonus points with my boss, everybody, because George Penick is a Davidson guy. Davidson College has something called a failure fund. Students can get from like $100 to $1,500 for a project, no strings attached, don't have to prove it was successful. If it's a giant flop, so be it. You went for it, you tried to be creative, here you go. What? Rather than defining who we are, failure and mistakes can get us to where we're supposed to be. Peter, with all his mess ups and the sinking in, I think it's part of his story, and it got him to where he was supposed to be. And I'm going to suggest today for all of us, our past failures and mistakes do not define us, nor will our future ones. And sometimes I say, go for it. Put it out there. The waters are choppy. I'm speaking to you this morning as a very proud University of Virginia graduate. Someone who spent four of the best years of his life in Charlottesville, Virginia. Someone who is proud to say, I'm from the state of Virginia, I claim it. Someone whose pretty much entire family lives within about 30 minutes of Charlottesville. The past 2 days, I will be honest, have been very difficult for me. My heart and my thoughts have been there. And I know in my heart that what took place doesn't represent all of Virginia. I know that. But that hate and that violence is a real thing. And it's not just there. It's in a lot of places. So I will proudly claim to be a Virginian who doesn't buy into that stuff. And I'll proudly claim to be a part of this Episcopal church that also says, you know what? That sign that says we welcome you, yeah, we mean that. Everybody, you're welcome here. Our doors are open to you. And we respect the dignity of everyone. And when we look at you, we see a beautiful child of God in the image of God. No matter where you come from or what you look like or who you're with or how you're dressed. And your mistakes don't define you, because I don't want my mistakes to define me, and that's the God we believe in. I'm proud to be a part of that church. But I think being a part of that church requires all of us to wade out into the choppy waters sometimes. And we may feel like we're starting to sink, but we know ultimately God is with us as that is happening. May we love boldly. May we welcome boldly. May we, when necessary, speak out boldly. May we know our mistakes do not define us. Our mistakes may help us get to where we want to go. May we develop the gifts that all of us have, not only for our own benefit, but to make this world a better place and to play our part in building up the kingdom of God. Amen.